Pictures at an exhibition, Modest Mazarsky's biggest, most radical piano work composed in 1874 in tribute to his great friend and fellow Russian, an artist again this time. His name was Victor Hartmann, died the year before the composition. He died at the age of 39. On the evening of Saturday the 10th of August, Barry Douglas will give a recital in Kilkenny that includes this work, replacing the Ukrainian pianist Alexander Gavrilyuk. Gavrilyuk, who was due to play at the Arts Festival and has had to cancel due to ill health. Saturday morning, before that concert, composer and music educator Jerry Murphy will give a talk on the relationship between Hartmann's pictures and Mazursky's music. And Jerry is with me in studio now. We'll come to the task that awaits Barry Douglas in a second, but just to remind us of Mazursky and where he fits into that big Russian picture, 19th century Russian music, a huge, really, a vast canvas in some ways, isn't it, Jerry?
There was an artistic combination of five of them. They called themselves the Mighty Handful, and they were motivated fundamentally by a desire to, as the Soviet Union would later have it, turn its back on Western formalism. Their avowed aim was to make Russian music, to break away from the French influence and the German influence. It didn't last that long, and in the end, Mazursky wound up having, well, there's a dispute as to whether they left him or he left them.
That dispute would be there around a lot of musicians and Soviet politics, really, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, this, of course, was pre-Soviet, but nonetheless, they weren't any different in the Tsarist times than they were in the Soviet times. But he wasn't a very prolific composer. He's very well known for one opera, particularly Boris Godunov. But he had been very successful with this when his friend Hartmann died. And he found himself wanting to write a piece in memoriam.
And the way he goes about this, I mean, we were talking about abstraction in terms of the visual art earlier on with Sean Scully.
Indeed.
We've got to get into this idea of program music or programmatic music and what we're talking about when we talk about that, because it's essential to explain pictures at an exhibition.
I suppose in the first place, when Mazursky had the idea, as a composer myself, I can resonate with what he thought. You can, of course, simply write a piece of abstract music and say, it's in memoriam, my friend. And then, as he thought about it and went to the exhibition, he moved rapidly up a step and thought, what about if I take some of the pictures and try and make music around them? Now, that's not the easiest thing in the world, because they're two completely different art forms.
Yeah.
And one of them is static by nature and sits on a wall, and the other one takes as much time as it takes to play. And Mazursky was confronted with, how do you make the transfer from art on a wall to, in his case, the piano, or indeed the orchestral version?
Because it was originally composed as a piano piece.
As a piano piece. And he stumbled on the quite brilliant idea, I think, of having what he called a promenade. So that, in fact, the entire piece works through the mind of the visitor to the exhibition. And the promenade, Mazursky was a good enough composer. A second-rate composer would have written 10 promenades, one for each picture. He realised very quickly, being an operatic composer, that you don't have to do this. In fact, the first promenade is the longest. They get progressively shorter because the listener is drawn slowly into the pictures. In fact, by number 4, the promenade disappears altogether.
Yeah, so the idea is that you're literally walking between the pictures, and then as you become more and more absorbed in the exhibition, you're doing very little walking, you're looking at the
next
picture.
And also the promenade is a device to reflect different moods, different reactions. Perhaps joyful, sad, he's lost a good friend. And then walking on from a picture which was particularly sombre and shrugging the shoulders and saying, come on, enough of that.
Yeah, get on here, this bom, is something
bom,
slightly...
Bom, dot, 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 yes.
So what would you say his mood was walking in? Because this is what we're dealing with in the first promenade, essentially, isn't it?
It is. Well, the exhibition was about 400 pictures, in fact. And in point of fact, there's a small... there's a linguistic problem with the title of it. It's mostly known as pictures at an exhibition, but in fact, the original Russians is pictures from an exhibition because there were 400 of them. Right. We also don't know, for the most part. Most of the pictures do not now survive. And those that are ascribed, there are 4 or 5 of them, the ones that didn't survive, we do have descriptions about Vladimir Stasov, the critic, art critic and music critic, who was a friend of both Hartmann and Mussorgsky. And we have a pretty good idea of what he was trying to do. But his mood coming in must have been, it's reflected in the promenade itself, which is, you know yourself, you come in, you walk around and you look, wherever we start, there's one over there. No, what about that? And it's regular but irregular. It's in 5-4 and 6-4 time.
Which means that the 5 will make it slightly as if you're tripping up, and the 6
and then
is regular
six,
enough.
Let's go on again.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's have a listen. And suitably enough, it is Barry Douglas who's playing in this recording. So we'll talk about how it's changed from piano to orchestra shortly, but let's listen to this piano version of the first promenade from pictures from an exhibition. Let's go there, played by Barry Douglas. That's the opening section there of the first promenade from pictures from an exhibition, The Music of Modest Mussorgsky, played by Barry Douglas, suitably enough, because we're talking about the fact that Jerry Murphy is with me in the studio, and we're talking about the fact that Barry Douglas will be performing this at the Kilkenny Arts Festival, as opposed to Alexander Gavrilyuk, who unfortunately is sick at the moment and can't do the performance. This is not the sort of piece that you'll just say, I'll polish this up in 5 minutes. It must have been on Barry Douglas's fingers. He must have been doing something with the work, Jerry.
Well, it would have to be, because it's a fairly virtuoso piece. It's also 30 minutes, more or less. Mm. And you simply won't polish that up, as you say, in a couple of days.
And as you were saying to me before we came to her, playing from memory as well, so you're not going to
Well, you would be expected to play from memory the classical repertoire, at least, and the romantic repertoire.
Now, we kind of heard, just as that piece, as the first promenade was finishing, you know, it is this forceful walk, if you like.
Well, it plunges straight into the first picture.
It's almost, that little twist of the piano says, oh, something has caught his eye. So it's that programmatic, the work. It really is describing the walk through this exhibition.
And immediately after that first picture, when it stops, the promenade comes back, but it's quieter, it's in a different key, and it's more effective. It's also about half the length, and it leads into the second very quiet picture.
Yeah, so
the third promenade is faster again.
Yeah, so the moods of those promenades, as you say, they disappear after a while. But how melancholy are the pictures that he's looking at? Or do they change in mood as well?
I don't think it's the melancholy is not so much in the picture as perhaps the purpose of the work was to...
Still remembering his friend.
Well, still remembering his friend who died very tragically on the 4th of August 1873 of an aneurysm. Bang, gone. Mm. At the age of 39, great loss to Russian art, not Soviet art. And it left Mussorgsky and indeed the whole of artistic Russia very badly shocked.
So Mussorgsky wrote the piano piece, but then when did the orchestration come along?
He wrote the piano piece in 1874, and in fact it wasn't published until 5 years after his death, because he was very taken with it, very keen on it, and in fact he wrote to Stasov and said...
He wrote to him?
Stasov, the critic, with whom he kept in touch, and said that ideas were coming so thick and fast that he could barely eat, he could barely drink. He had to get it down in paper as fast as he could. And I can tell you, as a composer, that doesn't happen very often. And when it does, you grab everything.
You don't eat.
Goes.
You go to the
but then
paper.
His friends liked it, and his fellow composers didn't like it because they thought it was, they didn't know what he was trying to do. He wrote in very odd keys. He wrote in very odd times. And he completely ignored what we would call Western or Germanic forms of organisation. And also, I think there was a sniffy attitude towards the whole business of programme music, because a great many 19th century composers would have steered clear of programme music, because it would be seen as, I don't know, less than that the real music, of course, was abstract music, symphonies, concertos, sonatas and things like that.
Although when we think of something like, you know, think of Tchaikovsky, the 1812 Overture, and even the music for ballet, but the 1812 Overture, you can't get more programmatic than
indeed,
that.
Oh, indeed, indeed, yeah. Indeed. The Beethoven Pastoral Symphony. Beethoven was well capable of writing a bit of programme music when he wanted to. But there's a difference when you consider that, because although when you look at the five movements in the Pastoral Symphony, number one and number five are expressing states of mind, I suppose. Awakening of happy feelings on arriving in the country. And
is
the
it a description of, literally yes, of that moment?
The hymn of thanksgiving after the storm. Yeah. But numbers two, three and four are very graphic, and particularly the storm. So as I say, Beethoven was well able to do it.
So, but Mussorgsky does stay in this description, the programmatic description of the pictures in front of him and the walks between the pictures. That's the way he says. So it was Ravel who orchestrated the piece eventually, wasn't it?
The piece eventually became known as, first of all, as a piano piece. But obviously, if you just reel back, as soon as somebody like Ravel heard it, it cries out to be orchestrated. Now, long before that, Sir Henry Wood had orchestrated several of the pictures.
The Proms.
For the Proms.
Fame.
But it has to be said that as soon as Ravel's version became available and was heard, he promptly withdrew his own orchestration and forbade it to be played during his lifetime because he said Ravel's was far superior. There are people who will say that the Henry Wood. Now, they are, of course, different. Yeah. There are maybe five or six big orchestrations of it. Many composers have tried their hand at it. But Ravel is, first and foremost, takes pride of place.
You mentioned that you will be giving a talk on Saturday morning. Will you be dealing with both the orchestral and the piano versions, or what way are you going to go about
that? No, I'll deal with the piano version only, because obviously it's not, the orchestral version is not being played. I think it would distract from the pianistic nature of the night.
All right. Well, look, we'll play a little bit of the orchestral version just to slightly even handed. Let's have this is Rich Man, Poor Man. Who are the rich men and rich man and the poor man we're talking about here?
Mussorgsky was reputed to have possessed the two pictures in question and put them together for one. They were very recently characterized as Rich Jew and Poor Jew. It's a very fine character study in two different types. The rich man is portrayed in noble, grand music, and the poor man in whinging, wheedling, pulling at the coattails, saying, "Oh, come on, give us a few coppers, mister."
Well, let's have a little bit of a listen then to Rich Man, Poor Man, sixth movement from Pictures from an Exhibition. You could see the actions that Jerry Murphy is doing to show the poor man there sniffing at his handkerchief and looking for the money, and the rich man quite pompous beforehand. And that movement from the orchestration of Pictures from an Exhibition, played by the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra. Jerry Murphy will be speaking about the piece, the Parade Tower, 11 a.m. on Saturday morning, and Barry Douglas will play the composition amongst others at a recital that evening, 7:30 at St. Canice's Cathedral, replacing the advertised Alexander Gavrilyuk, who has to withdraw due to ill health. For ill health, further details, kilkennyarts.ie.